You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, guys? Welcome into this Friday edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast. Today we're going to talk about kind of a lot of things, actually. Segment one here, we'll talk about Fort Wayne Mad Ants a little bit. Someone asked about Alizé on the mailbag, and I wanted to get into some Mad Ants stuff. Then we'll talk about some Heat, and then we have a guest to talk about some Hawks. We might have a guest to talk about the Heat, too, TBD. But as always, I am one of the hosts of the show, Tony East with the West Indianapolis Community News. Day four of me on the show in a row. So if you like Adam better, tough stuff for you this week. But, you know, with this dry spell of Pacers games from Sunday to Friday, we've really gotten time to reset, look around at Fort Wayne, look around at other teams, get questions from you guys to kind of feel where the fans are at, which has been good for me. Because I always try to push the conversation ahead, but I always get too far ahead sometimes and forget what other people are thinking about. So it was good to have the mailbag. But today I wanted to tell you guys about Fort Wayne because Fort Wayne's important. You got to talk about the G League stuff, the development is important. They've had some, good stuff going on. And people asked me about Alizé, and I remember seeing on Twitter that Alizé Johnson had a 27-point, 20-rebound game in Fort Wayne. And I was like, okay, well, I'm going to look into their stats a bit more. And wow, I was blown away by a lot of it. They had a game the night we recorded that question too, so their stats have been updated, and I have them all ready to go. So, just for a quick refresher, Edmund Sumner and Devon Reed are the two guys on two-way contracts, so they can be called up to the Pacers at any time. Alizé Johnson and Ike Anibogu both have Pacers contracts but are playing down to get reps in, and then Ben Moore and technically just Ben Moore. Ben Moore had a Pacers contract and was waived, and then Omari Johnson, Elijah Stewart, and Demetrius Denzel Thyson were signed just to have their G League rights. So lots of Pacers ties really down on this team, but Alizé is the place to start because, you know, shout out to Nick Stidham. I forget his Twitter handle, but he was telling me all pre-draft process that Alizé is a beast and blah, blah, blah. He had a workout with the Pacers and he talked about him every time since. Alizé is averaging 22.3 points and 15 rebounds a game in three games so far. He's as advertised as the motor man. He's shooting 66% from the field. Half those rebounds, basically seven, have been offensive. He looks amazing. I saw him throw this sick pass where he was jumping out of bounds and he dimed up a shooter in the corner for the easy bucket. It was insane. He looks awesome. And people are right to think, you know, maybe we should try to see what he looks like in the pros. If he can be, he has to be, you know, he doesn't have to be, but he could be as good as Leaf. You know, might as well jump him into that rotation if he's ready for it and Leaf isn't. And I don't know if he's better than Leaf. It's too early to say, but he's shooting 44% from three down there so far on, I mean, it's 4-for-9, but he's still shooting 4-for-9 from three. So keep an eye on Alizé. He actually has a potential rotation spot where I feel like most of the other guys don't. Maybe Sumner does, who I'll get to next. But yeah, he's killing it, and it looks awesome to see. Their second-round pick looks like he's better than your typical second-round pick. So Alizé Johnson, keep your eye on him. And I did it. I didn't say Alize one time, so I'm proud of me. And the other Pacer, Ike Anibogu, will never be a scorer. It's just not in his blood. I love when he comes in for the Pacers because he starts shooting jumpers, and that's not his thing at all. He's averaging only 8.3 points a game, but 10.3 rebounds and leading the team with two blocks. That he's really good on D. He's not scoring well. He's shooting under 40%, but he's mostly, like, in the pros, his ideal role is just block shots and dunk. So if he's blocking shots, that's what I want to see from him. His NBA days could be numbered, so I'm glad he's showing the defensive side and getting the rebounds. Just needs to finish a little bit more. I think he'll get called up as soon as there's an injury in the center spots. And then Sumner and Devon Reed, the two-way guys. Devon Reed, you may not know much about because he was signed after the season started, after that Wilcox injury. He, in four games, 15.8 points per game, seven rebounds per game. He started off with like a 25-15 game. He's shooting well from three, but terrible from two-point range, which is super weird. But he's a good defensive player, too. So I like him as a potential wing prospect. I don't know if he'll get a chance to play much for the Pacers this year unless there's an injury, but good to see him doing all right. And Sumner had an insane game last night. Let me pull it up. Sumner had 35 points on 19 shots last night. His averages are now up to 23 points per game, 3 assists, 3.3 rebounds, 62% shooting. He went off. Crazy game for Sumner. He's probably too good for the G League. I mean, you saw him in preseason. He's just a complete beast. He's so athletic. He can get to the rim. He can handle the ball. He will probably... I think he's probably the first guy out of the rotation right now on the Pacers. Like, you have your nine who play every game, and then Lefo, Quinn are, like, slightly in the rotation, and then Sumner's that first guy out. So an injury, and he'll probably be right in. So be on the lookout for that. He'll probably get a full contract the second someone gets hurt, which is fascinating to see. Good for him. Ben Moore, who they just waived in lieu of probably signing Sumner eventually, 24.4 points per game, 20 points, 7 boards, shooting 70% from the field. Scorched earth for him. He's so efficient. He was last year too. And he had a pretty good game last night too off the bench, 20 points, 11 rebounds. I love Ben Moore. It's a shame he's like right on the cusp of too good for the G League, not good enough for the NBA. But maybe next year when the Pacers have to cut their roster size down, Moore will get a more of a guaranteed contract. And then the other guys, the guys who did not make the team out of preseason, Elijah Stewart not looking too great. Underwhelming, I guess, is the word. 8.5 points, 1.5 rebounds, 1 assist. Shooting 31%, missed all of his threes. So tough for him. He looked okay, actually, in the preseason. He looked better than Omari Johnson, who I'll get to in a second. But he does not look great in the G League so far. And then Omari, who I just referenced, known for his three-point shooting, only shooting 26%, so that's tough. 9.5 points per game, 4.8 rebounds. You'd like to see more from both of those guys who were, in theory, right on the cusp of making an NBA team. But it just doesn't look to be the case. And then Demetrius Denzel Dyson, the sweetest name ever. They signed him just to get his G League rights, which I love when teams do that. So sneaky of a good move. 9.3 points per game, shooting 50% from the field. But I don't think any of those last three guys I talked about mean much. They probably won't get back to the NBA. But seeing Sumner and Alizé and Ben Moore play really good, and EK and Devon Reed play kind of good, is awesome. I mean, those guys are the guys you want to see doing well. They could eventually have a tangible impact on the pro team. The fact that they're dominating the G League is really, really big for their development. So just keep an eye out on Fort Wayne. The Pacers on their .com put up what they call the Fort Report. I love that name, where they highlight how these guys are doing down there. It's worth watching. I only watched their first game on the road against the Erie BayHawks, but they've had two home games and a game against the Wisconsin Herd since. So if you check Facebook, they have every game for free. You can watch them anytime. So totally check out the Mad Ants. But now let's talk some NBA basketball. Let's talk some Heat. Let's talk some Hawks after the break. All right, so the first two games this weekend is the Heat. Hawks are coming up in a second with a guest, Jeff Siegel. He's the man. For the Heat, I wanted to have Frank Urbina from Hoops Hype on. He's awesome, too. But he's very, very busy because Hoops Hype is a crazy busy site all the time. He couldn't come on. But they've already played the Heat, so I feel like I have enough of a baseline to talk about enough Heat myself. And then the Hawks, obviously, we need somebody. So if you'll recall, a week ago, these two teams played an awesome game. 110-102 Pacers. There was the Thaddeus Young ejection game, which was terrible. I feel like that will honestly incite some fire in the Pacers again in this game. Anecdotally, which I love anecdotal stuff. You guys know that. That was a joke. But the Heat currently, since that Pacers game that they so graciously lost, are lost twice. Once to the Wizards, who had two wins going into that game. Then they lost to the Sixers pre-trade, and then they just beat the Nets. So they have been okay this year. 6-8 is not where the Heat probably wanted to be, but they are 15th in offense and 14th in defense. So they've been average to above average at the sport, basically. So I don't think that 6-8 is really indicative. I think if they were 7-7, that'd be more indicative of the team that they are. And something about this Heat roster just like tickles my fancy, and I don't know why. You know, they don't have. Like, Goran Dragic was an all-star. I put air quotes up last year, but he's not, like, really an all-star. And Whiteside's pretty good, and he's been really good this year, but he's not, like, an all-star. And Josh Richardson is playing amazing this year, but he's also not, like, an all-star. So I don't really know what to say about the Heat other than that they're pretty deep with guys who are B to C-level NBA players, which is a fine team-building strategy, but not a perfect one. And you saw in the first game... how that can come to bite you in the butt because, you know, the fourth quarter tips off and it's a tight game. The Pacers had, you know, just, I think, taken, or, you know, they were up four or something like that. And they just got them in the fourth. Like, even when it seemed like the Heat had a little bit of momentum going their way, I think it was tied at 90. the Pacers just had the right guys to beat him. I mean, Miles played well down the stretch in the fourth. Corey Joseph played well in the fourth. Tyreke played okay in the fourth and didn't get ejected, even though I thought he was going to. Sabonis played good in the early fourth. Collison played good. Victor, obviously, I just said good a bunch, and some grammar person is like, it's well, and it was well every time. I'm sorry. Victor played good. You know, they just overwhelmed them with depth, and all they really had going in the fourth was a little bit of Richardson and obviously Whiteside eating on the glass. Winslow was not great in the fourth. You know, it just, when you don't have the guy like the Pacers do and Vic to take over at the end of games, it's tough. And that, and at home, you know, with the inspiration from Kelly Olynyk shamelessly ejecting shamelessly ejecting Thaddeus Young, I feel like the Pacers are going to win this game. And just from the first game, I feel like a lot of the trends will stand. The Heat had Richardson on Oladipo a lot, and Vic was 9 for 22, which is not terrible. 40% is not like a terrible game. It's not a good game either. And Vic played okay D, and he had 22 points. So like, nothing was crazy wrong. And he dished out 10 assists, though, and that's where Richardson's impact is that he forces the ball out of Vic's hands. And you need other contributions when that kind of stuff is happening. Lo and behold, Bojan had 16 that game. DC had 17 and was hitting his non-3-point shots. I think that is going to be a similar thing that the Heat try to do. They had success with that. Richardson's good on T. Richardson really was the point guard for them that game with Dragic out. So impressive stuff from him. And then I think Dragic is the other thing to watch, obviously. He'll be back and playing basketball in this game. And that kind of changes a lot because he's the fake all-star, but he still was an all-star because he's pretty good. Only shooting 42% this year on the season. But he's a good player. He dictates a lot of respect offensively. He keeps the ball moving. He's an okay defender. He's a tall point guard. He's quick for a 32-year-old. He's better than Darren Collison. He can get by DC. So I like Dragic improving them, but someone who hurts them is back is Dwayne Wade. Actually, Dwayne Wade might not play because he just had a child, so he might be out for another week or so on his retirement tour. So if he doesn't play, that actually hurts the Pacers' chances, unfortunately. James Johnson still not back. So they still have the similar rotation as last game, just insert Dragic. And Derek Jones is sick. He might not play. But yeah, Dragic is big for them. He's better than playing heavy minutes for, you know, Tyler Johnson played 33 minutes. Derek Jones Jr. played 25. That's not going to happen again when they have their all-star point guard from last year. But some changes that could benefit the Pacers. Miles Turner actually did okay getting Whiteside away from the rim. But when Whiteside was around the rim, he ate everything on the glass, 20 rebounds. I don't really mind him getting 15 defensive rebounds. That is what it is. Like, he's going to get a bunch of those 5 offensive rebounds. That can happen again. Keep him off the glass for the offensive rebounds. Limit the Heat's possessions. You know, they're not a spectacular offensive team. I think they're about a little below average in field goal percentage this season. That is correct. They're 21st. So limit their offensive possessions by keeping Whiteside off the offensive glass, and that might pay dividends. Be a big game for Miles Turner again. It's interesting because he still pulled him from the rim, but when he himself would shoot the perimeter jumper, now Whiteside has just far superior offensive position to grab the rebound. So that's like not Turner's fault on that end of the floor, but him getting offensive rebounds, I have no excuse. Turner's got to be better on that particular elk. We've been talking about that all season. Thad Young won't get ejected. That will change the game quite a bit. He was good when he was playing. He's always good when he's playing. I love Thaddeus Young. My affinity for him knows no bounds. His defense is good on Olynyk or Bam or Justice Winslow or whoever the Heat happen to have in at the four. You know, they play some funky lineups with four guards, even if you count Magruder as a guard or Richardson as a guard, really. So he will be key. He can defend the perimeter and make that not as effective as it is for the Heat against some other teams. But when Olynyk's in, I want him to guard Olynyk every time. Just get in his face, get mad, show him that you're angry that he flopped and ejected the crap out of him. Speaking of Olynyk, he's not going to shoot as well as last game. He's not going to have 20 points again. I just don't think he will. Kelly Olynyk is a good player. He's not going to shoot 6-for-8 and 3-of-5 from deep, especially if that's pissed and guarding him. So they're going to have to find other ways to get points off the bench. And maybe Ellington gets moved to the bench and he's the guy. But He only took 4 threes. They did a good job not letting Ellington get a crazy amount of threes off. Kojo just continues to be great hounding these dudes off ball, and he was awesome. Kojo was a plus 16 the first time these two teams played. So be on the lookout for that as well. But ultimately, I don't think the Pacers are going to change their game plan too much. One, because the game was only a week ago. Two, because it worked. And three, because they'll have their starting power forward the entire game this time, which will be big. Even though the third quarter without Thad was actually the Pacers' best quarter. and I think they're going to try to get Tyreke Evans going a little bit more. I thought the Pacers' depth would be huge without Goran Dragic, and it wasn't because Tyreke was just kind of bleh. But I think he can be better this time. I hope he can be better this time. Playing a little more with Wayne Ellington probably on him. Wayne Ellington, not a good defender for all he is as a shooter. And Tyreke needs to really get going, read Kalen's piece on him. He is not really distributing as much as he needs to be. This will be a good game for him to really drive and kick and show what he's made of. And I'm hopeful that he's up to the task because his start to the season has been pretty lackluster. Sabonis against non-Whiteside will eat every second he's in the game like last time when he was 6-for-7. So those minutes, the Pacers will dominate. So I think that the Heat will try to avoid those, but you can't play Whiteside a ton of minutes. 33 was probably too much for him the first time. So we'll have to see how it goes, but I like the Pacers' chances in this game, both from an anecdote perspective and from a matchup perspective and from really an analytics perspective. They can get some good shots against this team because once they get the ball away from whoever Josh Richardson's guarding, they get good looks. So I'll predict the Pacers win this game by 8, and they can hopefully they can do it by more so they can rest their guys ahead of a Hawks on the back-to-back, but I think they can win the Hawks game anyway. So a small Pacers win, but now let's take another break, and then let's talk some Atlanta Hawks with Jeff Siegel, who is the best. All right, so tomorrow we have Pacers-Hawks in Bankers Life. I cannot think of a better team to play on a back-to-back than the Atlanta Hawks. But I can call them the formerly 2-2 Atlanta Hawks because they were, but now they're 3-11. And here to talk Hawks with me, someone who writes for Peachtree Hoops, among a bajillion other places. We'll talk about your site later. But Jeff Siegel, Jeff, how are you, man?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm good. I never know how to introduce you because I could go on all day talking about your accomplishments.
I think if we want to talk Hawks, then Peachtree Hoops is the way to go. If we're going to talk anything else, then there's a couple other places that we could mention. But we'll stick with Peachtree Hoops for now.
So the Hawks are 3-11 on purpose. They went in with a new coach, new roster, intentionally bad. And the story for the Hawks, pretty much every game is number – wow, I want to say number 3 overall pick, but that's false. Number 5 overall pick, Trae Young. Who I had number 2 on my board. So Hawks getting him at 5. Crazy stuff. How have you liked Trae Young so far? How has he looked as a pro?
He's looked better than I expected. But, of course, I was lower on him than you were coming in. I had him, I think, 7th on mine, that he went 5th, of course. And he's been better than I expected. I expected him to have a lot of trouble with creating his own shot, creating separation, but, you know, ahead of NBA athletes when he's being guarded by any of the many point guards in this league who are very good defensively. That was going to be an issue, I thought, and it hasn't been. He's able to get that shot off both from beyond the arc and get to the rim, finish at the rim, finish through contact. Obviously, he came in and we knew he was going to be a fantastic passer, and he has been, so that's good. But, you know, I think his ability to finish and his ability to get his open shots, even if they're not going in from the outside right now, has been better than I could have expected.
Yeah, that makes me laugh really hard because everybody was like, oh, the Steph Curry comparison, which that's stupid. Let's not do that. But everybody thought this dude could be this crazy great shooter from deep and a meh finisher, and now he's finishing like 60% at the rim and shooting 29% from three or something hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, but 60% at the rim is good, is fine for a point guard. That's that's very good for a point guard. The 26% from three, that's not fantastic, but he's better catch and shoot. I think he's like 42% on his catch and shoot threes, and then he just probably hasn't made a pull-up shot in his whole career yet. Like, he's just terrible at those. And maybe those come around, maybe they don't. You know, for his sake, I hope they do. I think for the Hawks to get what they want out of him, they kind of have to because of the way other teams are teams defend him very similarly to the way they defend Curry, and that they're putting two guys out there, you know, as the big men are at the level of the ball on ball screens. They're really pushing him And so he's able to show off his passing a little more, which his passing is better than Curry's has ever been. So that's nice. But if those pull-up shots don't go down, then teams will start backing off, letting him take those. And that's not that'll screw up a lot of what Atlanta wants to do offensively.
Yeah, I've seen that too. And I want you to give me a live reaction to Carmelo getting waived, which we just learned like literally just now.
That's the right move for Houston. It never made a ton of sense for him to go there. He's probably not going to get picked up the rest of the year. I mean, maybe somebody else takes a shot at him, just like the Rockets did, and see if he can come in for 10 to 15 games. But I don't think that he's, at this point in his career and with his reputation, a useful NBA player.
Former Hawk.
He can come home if he wants.
My bookie has the current leader in the house to sign Carmelo as any Chinese league team. So,
yep, that makes
sounds sense. About right to me. But there's more to the Hawks than Trae Young, of course. I think I've seen one Hawks game this year against the Lakers, of course. And I've always been a Kent Bazemore guy, but he's not even one of the new Hawks. We'll talk about him momentarily. But there's been a lot of new Hawks this year. Alex Len, who the Suns decided they didn't want because they have such good centers, apparently. Vince Carter, Omari Spellman, they drafted in the first round. Kevin Herter, they drafted in the first round. Jeremy Lin, former Pacer Alex Poitras. I could talk all day. What new guys have impressed you and what new guys play the most / best? That was a lot of questions.
I think the most interesting new guy for me has been Kevin Herter, because he has shown, again, just like Young, more than I expected given where I had him and where he was drafted. He's also another one of those guys who you sort of had stereotyped in like, oh, he's just a white guy who can shoot. And then all of a sudden he's driving and dishing and doing all of this other stuff offensively. And it's like, oh, okay, this is more than another Kyle Korver or another JJ Redick. Like, he's not that level of shooter, but he's also a better passer ball handler than those guys as well. So he's been really impressive. I think, other than that, I think Alex Len has jumped into the starting lineup ahead of Dwayne Dedmon, because Dedmon was hurt coming into the year. Then Dedmon's also not on this road trip as he's having a kid, or he just had a kid this morning, I believe. So he's been off of the, out of the starting lineup. That's elevated Alex Len, who is maddeningly inconsistent. I can't speak. Whatever. He's tough to watch, because he'll have these games where he's 9 for 10 for 20 points, and then he'll have to come out the very next night and like it looks like his hands are made of phone books, like he can't catch anything. It's just, he's a little frustrating. But other than that, I think Vince has played way more than we would have expected coming in, but that's to go with John Collins' injury. They don't have any other power forwards other than Alex Poitras, who you and I both very much enjoy his work. But they're not going to start Alex Poitras at the four. So they went with Vince for a while. Then they went with Omari Spellman. It's been poor no matter who they started. So, hopefully Collins comes back. I think he's targeting next week to make his debut this season. So he'll shore up a lot of problems at the four. This is still not going to be a good team, but at least they'll have a guy for each position, which they don't have right now.
John Collins drafted one pick after TJ Leaf, the haunting moment of Pacers.
Yeah, that didn't work out for the Pacers, did it? Or it hasn't worked out yet, of course. Leaf is better this year than I expected him to be that he was last year. So it's not over for him, but it's not going super well.
I would like to have John Collins instead, if that's what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, so would I.
Playing the Hawks without John Collins seems mean, because would you say he's the second or third best player on the roster?
Is he not the first best player on the Hawks?
Oh, I think Kent Bazemore is the best player on the Hawks.
Okay, sure. Yeah. All right. Kent Bazemore is probably the best player on the Hawks, though they've sort of moved away from what he was doing last year. He was running a lot of like secondary pick and rolls last year, was doing a little more creative work. That sort of shifted over to Torian Prince a little bit, and Prince isn't particularly great at that. But Bazemore's sort of, I don't know, his impact hasn't been as large this year as it was, I think, last year. So it's arguable, I think, right now, because Bazemore's been healthy and Collins hasn't been. We can go with Bazemore, but it's going to be a two-man race at the end of the year, I would imagine, for those two guys. Maybe you could throw in Trae Young and Torian Prince in there, but Trey's been, both Trae and Torian Prince have been poor defensively for various reasons.
Yeah, I was going to talk about Prince, but Prince is kind of underwhelming this year after being a nice, fun spark last year in year two. I want to believe in him.
He's not just, he's, he's super frustrating too, and not in the same way that Alex Len is, where he's just inconsistent. He's just like doesn't care about defense anymore, or doesn't seem to care about defense. It seems like he's either he doesn't know what he's supposed to be doing, or he just doesn't care enough to do it. And he's been a source of consternation both with the coaches and with, you know, us analyzing the team and just everybody around the team a little bit. His shot selection has raised some eyebrows in the locker room for sure. I know some people have been a little bit unhappy with the way he takes a lot of mid-range jumpers, takes a lot of like looks off a wide open guy to take a contested three kind of thing because he thinks he's sort of a bigger part of the team than he is. I think it's this rebuild hasn't been great for him in terms of his own development. You would think that he would be able to sort of blossom in a new role where he has the ball in his hands a lot more, but it's sort of, he's developed a lot of bad habits.
Yeah. It's unfortunate. I think he would be much better as a play finisher than a play initiator, but
yeah, I mean, he should be a 3-and-D wing because he can shoot the three at a very high level, can play defense. His rookie year, he was good on defense. And then last year and this year, he's been not so good. So like, what happened to the defense? I think it was a lot of, I think he, you know, is in his own head almost with how good he thinks he is, and it's not working out for him so far.
Maybe he can become his matchup, Bojan Bogdanović, in this game.
Maybe that would be fantastic. I would take Bojan Bogdanović on the Hawks in an instant.
Yes, Bojan is very underrated. But I want to, before I talk like Pacers matchups, I want you to think from a Hawks standpoint, what do you think they're going to try to do to win this game? What do you think their strategy is going to be going at the Pacers and defensively?
I mean, are they going to try to win this game? Are we sure about that? Are we sure that that's the strategy coming?
No, we are not.
They may trip into winning this game if Victor Oladipo goes 2-for-16 or whatever, but I don't
know. They beat them last year. The Hawks won last year.
I don't know that the overall organizational philosophy is to come into Indiana and try to win this game. I know they're going to put the guys on the court. The coaches and the players don't tank, but it's not. I would say that the front office is not trying to hunt down the right matchups to try to maximize their chances in this game. I mean, I guess if we're getting serious about it, I think there's something to be said about Trae Young against Darren Collison. That would be the one area in which the Hawks might be able to take some advantage when they've got the ball. You know, obviously Oladipo is fantastic, and then you get Miles Turner in the middle. So even if Trae Young beats Darren Collison, things are not going to go well at the rim, probably. You know, and then the Pacers just have depth along the wing, depth at the big man spots with Sabonis. Like, it's going to be, it might get real ugly for the Hawks. It wouldn't surprise me if it did. And if they keep it close, that would, I think that would be a bad thing, a bad sign for the Pacers.
So the Pacers are taking long possessions now, trying to get good shots, and I look forward to them attacking Alex Len at the rim because, correct me if I'm completely off base, but Alex Len is not a good rim protector.
He's not awful. He's big. Like, he's just a large human being, so there's value in that. But if he's playing in pick-and-pop defense against Miles Turner, and Turner's sort of spacing him out, and so he has to take a couple, you know, an extra step, an extra step and a half to get to the rim, that might not work out so well. So, you know, especially against Turner, because of Turner's lack of a post game and more of a pick and pop threat, we may see a little more of Amari Spellman against Turner, and then we might see Alex Len guard a guy like Thaddeus Young or DeMontis Sabonis. I don't think that would go very well when Sabonis is in the game. But if Alex Len tries to guard Thaddeus Young, they help down a little bit. This Hawks team is not that good defensively, and in particular, but even offensively hasn't been going really well this year. So, you know, I wouldn't expect too much out of it, but I do expect maybe that they'll try Spellman against Turner and try to sort of mitigate that pick and pop threat, and with the knowledge that Turner's not going to kill Spellman down low, I don't think.
Do the Hawks switch a lot?
Not particularly. They switch 1 through 4, but they don't switch. Like, Alex Len is not going to get matched up against Victor Oladipo on 25 possessions tonight, because that's just not the way they do things.
1 through 4. So the Pacers love attacking the mismatch. If they can get a nice Victor Oladipo Trae Young matchup, I think they'll go with that every time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, anybody who can get a matchup on Trae Young should pretty much just attack that, because he's been really, he started out okay. Like his first maybe three games, it was like, oh, like at least he scraps. Like he's 6 foot nothing, but at least he tries. And then like the last 10 games or so, it's just been like, oh no, this guy is terrible.
And then anecdotally, I mean, I hate to like come off base if this is inaccurate, but six of the Hawks' 9 most played guys this year are 25 or younger. They have a new coach. Like, it's really hard to have a good defense and defensive scheme when, A, you have a lot of young guys, and, B, you have a new coach. It's hard to implement that kind of stuff. So just anecdotally, I feel like picking them apart isn't particularly hard.
No, not particularly. They're not – they have a good overarching scheme. I love what I've seen from Lloyd Pierce in general. It's that the players are just aren't quite at the level required for the team to succeed. I think, you know, their shot profile looks really good. Their half court defense is just about average. Like they're like 17th, 18th, somewhere in through there. In half court defense, they turn the ball over so much and they give up so much in transition, and they're not good at stopping you when you're in transition against them. They end up getting killed in those areas. But you know, their half-court defense is solid. Their half-court offense is good when they're not turning the ball over. They get to the rim. They shoot a lot of threes. They shoot a ton of corner threes. Like, things are looking to move in the right direction. They just have to stop giving the ball to the other team.
Yeah, 18 turnovers per game. That's brutal.
Yeah, and they're dead last in turnover rate. They're dead last in offense. If they were middle of the road in turnover rate, they'd be like 24th, 25th in offense. Like, that. It's a massive swing for them because they give away possessions just – about 1 in every 5. It's really bad.
That is bad. I feel like, personally, the Pacers will win this game by double digits. If you feel the same way, I think we can be done here.
Yeah, I mean, they should. I mean, everybody should, other than maybe the other teams at the bottom, like Phoenix, you know, Phoenix, New York, Chicago,
yes,
teams like that.
Tripping over the Sacramento. I love
Tripping over Sacramento a little bit because Sacramento, yes, was good. I saw them in Atlanta the other week, and they're actually a good team. I'm so used to being like Phoenix, Sacramento, New York, Chicago, but Phoenix, Sacramento sort of elevated themselves out of that group.
That was great. I agree. I'm excited to watch the Hawks just because I was really big on Trae Young. Probably going to look stupid on that, but I had Doncic above him, so I feel good about that.
Yeah, I had Doncic 1, and then a whole bunch of other guys, and then Trae Young came in 7th. So, but you know, who knows? He's been better than I expected. I would expect him to continue to sort of develop. He's shown a lot of growth even just through these first 13, 14 games with his ability to get to the rim, his ability to finish through contact. The defense was better and then sort of fell off a little bit. The passing has been otherworldly. Like, he's one of the best passers in the league already. So it's good. I mean, he's been fine. I think he's been better than I expected, which is probably the third or fourth time I've said that.
All right, final thing. Over under 2.5, Trae Young to Kent Bazemore on a back cut because Bojan Bogdanovic is ball watching.
Under, because the first three times he'll turn it over and then the Hawks will stop and then Bazemore might stop cutting. I don't know. Young's a really good passer, but his turnover rate also is just astronomical. Everybody's is. This, you know, there's probably 6 or 7 guys on this team who are like,
God, it's 20%
percentile or worse in turnover rate for their position. It's really, really bad. So, you know, there's a ton of guys who just can't hold on to the ball. I mean, the Trae Young is 16.5%, Bazemore's 15.5%, Torian Prince is almost 20%. Like, it's, you know, these guys just turn the ball over a ton. It's not any one guy, it's the entire team. Nobody can hold the ball on this team.
Jeff, you've been great. You know everything about the Hawks. I just looked at their turnover rates and they're bad.
It's really ugly.
Where can people find your work besides just sort of saying everywhere?
You can read about the Hawks if you're somewhat interested in them for whatever reason. You can read about them on PeachtreeHoops.com. You can read about the Portland Trailblazers over at Blazers Edge. You can read about salary cap, scouting report, playbook stuff over at Early Bird Rights. You can read about the business of basketball over at Forbes. You can read about everything else over at Dime Uprocks, Dime Magazine, Uprocks.com, whatever they want to call it. That should be everything. Follow me on Twitter at JG Siegel. That's where you can find all my stuff. I post everything over there. I pump it out. Like, I don't pump it like Shea Serrano does, but I pump it out when I feel like it.
Yeah, Jeff must follow if you like basketball on Twitter. You'll see stuff from every team, even the ones he doesn't write for. Highly recommended Early Bird Rights too. I know I have my own little Pacer salary sheet, but Jeff's are better, and he has all 30 teams. So What is there not to like? Thanks for coming on, man. I appreciate it.
Appreciate you having me.
And that is it for today's Friday show, guys. We got Heat and Hawks. We'll be back Monday to talk about all the weekend action. Thanks for tuning in, and we will see you.